All right, 154. It's Dan. It's Jake here in the Dragon Den. And for the next couple segments, we're going to do what we set out to do. The reason why my brother Joe is joining us here, because Dan said, hey, I love the movie Full Metal Jacket. And I got a lot of questions, particularly about the first 30 or 40 minutes of it, that I'd love to talk to your brother, who is in the Marine Corps. You say in the Marine Corps, but always a Marine, right?
Yes.
You don't say, yeah, okay.
You're not a former Marine.
Never. It's etched into my soul for life.
And isn't it like, I don't remember, this is not on the movie yet, the 1987 Stanley Kubrick movie, but I don't remember what flare-up internationally it was a couple years ago. A year ago, but there's still like something that you owe the government that if it got really hot, you would have to start your clock over. What's that called?
IRR, internal ready reserves. It's not starting the clock over, but I just checked it the other day. Actually, I think I got like 97 days left. So just keep it chill, world, for about 97 days.
Yeah, we're kind of focused on home for now. But yeah, so like it might have been North Korea, Dan, and it might have been Iran.
Is there an age thing? That's why you have 97 days left?
No, so what it is, so however long your initial contract is, mine was 4 years. You now also have to owe 4 years on the back end in your internal ready reserves. You can grow your hair out as long as you want. You can put anything in your body you want. But if things were to get really bad, you're like the third team off the bench, if you will.
And I remember thinking, there was talk of this sometime in the last year, and I'm like,
right.
You got to be kidding me. It was like during the XFL season. It's like, oh, please, just
stop
no.
The caravan?
Yeah.
Something like
get
that?
Get down to the caravan. So I hadn't seen this movie in a long time. I've seen it before. But I certainly had never sat there and watched it with him before. And that was quite the experience. We paused it about every 15 minutes. Had you
seen Full Metal Jacket before you joined the Marines?
I had seen it probably in high school, but I definitely did not recall, you know, everything that was in it. Until we watched it the other night. Especially, you know, everyone always talks about the first 30 to 40 minutes. I certainly remembered that. I do not remember some of the action and them actually going to Vietnam and some of those scenes.
So you joined the Marines. You say it was 100% 9/11.
Yes, absolutely.
That got you fired up to do something for your country.
Yes, I couldn't understand what was going on. I just wanted to figure out who are the people that are going to go do something about it.
And you wanted to be one of those people.
Absolutely.
So why not the Army? Why not the Navy?
So honestly, the first time that I kind of like fell in love with the Marine Corps was probably late 90s, actually. And I saw that commercial where that freaking dude beat that dragon down with a huge sword. You know, it was a big fire-breathing, like, lava dragon. And he cut its head and then went and stabbed the sword in the middle. And out of nowhere, he's in those dress blues. And I was like, whoa.
They definitely have
guys
the best,
are awesome.
The best commercials.
Yes. Advertising works.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that stuck with you, and you wanted to be in the Marines.
It did, and then once I had kind of seen some of the battles that were going on in Iraq, you know, they seemed to be kind of spearheading everything and kind of getting down and dirty, and I figured if you're going to join the military, you might as well go full send on it.
So, to the movie then, Full Metal Jacket, the first 45 minutes are all about boot camp and getting you prepared to be sent to war. How much? And this was made in what year did you say?
87.
Okay.
It was made in 87, but obviously it's
depicting going to Vietnam, so late 60s, early 70s, something like that maybe, or sometime in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How similar was boot camp in your case to the movie?
All right, so there's a couple differences. One, you know, because I went to officer candidate school, we do not actually get trained with the Marine recruits, the enlisted Marines. So there are, you know, some differences there, but we're still getting trained by the same, you know, drill instructors that train the enlisted Marines. So I would say there's definitely more similar than not. Obviously, there's some things that have changed in terms of maybe the language that you can use. Around some of the recruits, not talking cuss words, talking maybe some of the racially charged things. And then also, you know, during my time, the Marine Corps is having a very hard problem with hazing. And they've done a good amount to try to phase that out. So Not as many, you know, gut punches or...
Was that still going on when you were there?
There was definitely some physical contact, but not enough, you know, no drill instructor was making you choke yourself with his hand or anything like that, like happened to Private Pyle or anything like that.
So what have we heard before? We used to do this stuff with Gribble all the time because he was in the Marines too. Like the pin, like they give you a pin and then they yep. punch it onto your chest. Is that true?
That is true. Not myself. You know, that type of stuff didn't happen in the officer corps as much, but I definitely know that it was still an issue on the enlisted side, and it still is, to be honest.
Basically, the difference, Dan, is that officers are either they've gone to college or they've been enlisted for 4 or 5 years, so they're older, as opposed to being like 2 months out of high school.
Okay.
So that's a little...
They treat you a little slight... more like...
Yeah.
Men.
Right, right. I would say they definitely challenge you maybe more mentally than physically at times. So, for instance, if a enlisted Marine, you know, does something where he steps out of line, they'll get, you know, what they call being sugar cookied, which just means go run in that water real quick and then come over here and do 100 up-downs in this sand until you look like a sugar cookie. Well, on the officer side, if we stepped out of line, they would say, hey, tonight, you know, I know you only have 6 hours to sleep tonight, but you're going to spend two of it writing a 500-word essay for me on, you know, why you walked with food in your mouth means you have a complete lack of integrity, and tell us how you're going
to
fix it.
And did you say it had to be exactly 500?
Had to be exactly 500.
So you can't go over.
Words.
You have to figure out a way to nail your last sentence
to land at
500 even and then count them out.
Yep.
Wow. Were you like a good student in school?
At Tulane or in
just
the Marine Corps?
High yeah. school, Tulane, all that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Jake's yeah, Jake's definitely, you know, got me there in the smarts, but I got a pretty good memory. So I was better at taking tests and stuff like that. So I did all right.
Okay. All right, I wanted to ask you if this is kind of real, because this is very amusing to me. This is about a minute clip, and I didn't know how much of this stuff is really goes on. It's when they're marching. Oh, I thought I had my audio up. Gosh darn it. Now I do.
Okay.
Here we go.
I love working for Uncle Sam.
I love working for Uncle Sam.
Let me know just who I am.
Let me know just who I am.
1, 2, 3, 4, United States Marine Corps.
1, 2, 3, 4, United States Marine Corps.
1, 2, 3, 4, I love the Marine Corps.
1, 2, 3, 4, I love the Marine Corps.
My Corps.
My Corps.
Your Corps.
Your Corps.
Our Corps.
Our Corps.
Marine Corps.
Marine Corps.
I don't know, but I've been told.
I don't know, but I've been told.
Eskimo f*** is mighty cold.
Eskimo f*** is mighty cold.
Mmm, good.
Mmm, good.
Feel good.
Feels good.
Is good.
Feels good.
Real good.
Real good.
Taste good.
Taste good.
Mighty good.
Mighty good.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for me.
Good for me.
I've always loved the marching, singing to, you know, Stripes did it, I think. Did you ever see Stripes?
Absolutely.
Is that really happen?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I would say that's they probably spend more time on what they call drilling, more than like weapons training, to be honest with you, because they find so many different, you know, advantages that they say that comes from getting out there and drilling for 4 or 5 hours a day.
Like what?
Like even basic down to things like if you can keep, you know, 36 guys a platoon perfectly aligned in a formation, then that will translate into like battle tactics. If you're, you know, actually moving as a platoon and being able to, you know, take a right oblique, which is a drill step movement, and get dispersion, instant obedience to orders, all sorts of stuff.
Because if you think, even whenever they're in Vietnam in the movie, and you told me the other day what this is called, and probably everybody who's been in the military is going to punch the radio, but you can tell from the way they move.
Bounding.
Like, so the way that they move where the, you know, back guy up, guy behind him now up, and like they're just constantly replacing.
That's what felt like the Indian run or something.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And that look, that's born, I would imagine, out of being drilled,
right?
You know, or you're going to screw that up. But if it's second nature, I thought you were more going to ask if they get creative with the lyrics like that.
And that.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. They definitely always warned us that, you know, Jody or our make-believe girlfriend, which like all of us had girlfriends, so it was actually pretty real, was definitely at home cheating on you, for sure. And just try to go and drill that into your head and just be like, just don't even think about her right now, right? Because she's definitely, you know, with some other man.
Boot camp stuff, or not, I don't know if it's not boot camp, but whatever. But this, the way that they treated Pyle, I don't think that goes on to that degree anymore. But there was a kid that he, I don't know if it was in TBS or OCS, but that on long runs, sometimes, Dan, you might lose control of your bottom or your front. You know, you just don't have the ability to hold everything in anymore.
On a long march?
Long march, they long patrol, long run, all that kind of stuff.
Like just out in the woods, and you would just lose it?
What would a long run be?
You know,
10K?
For me, it was 2 to 3 miles. I'm a terrible runner, but yeah, we would run 8 to 10 miles for sure, at least every other day.
And all as a group?
As a group, yep. That everything was done as a group, kept in formation. You know, if the weakest guy's struggling, front guy peels back, helps him out, does all that kind of stuff. But
were you ever thinking, why did I do this?
Absolutely, for sure. during boot camp, yeah, all the time, especially because I was going back and forth from my college football seasons. So while my teammates are, you know, sitting there in New Orleans in the summertime, lifting weights, having fun, you know, I had to go do this for...
Oh, you didn't sign up when you got out of college.
I signed up during college, and I went to my first summer of OCS between my junior and senior years.
Damn, bro.
So that was even more, was like, man, I just got done doing my wide receiver stuff, all fast twitch muscles, run, sprint, explosion, and so I'm obviously a terrible distance runner. So then I go out and do that. You know, by the fifth week, I finally get better at distance running. Okay, well, now I got to get back for 2 days and get ready for that.
I want to get back to the kid who pooped himself.
Yeah, so he's talking about candidate poopy pants. And, you know, there wasn't a whole
this
lot of...
This was his nickname?
This is the nickname that he had to refer to himself for the rest of OCS. The drill instructors gave him. If he opened his mouth, he would say, candidate poopy pants, request permission to speak, sir.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because he defecated himself 3 separate times. And after, like, the third time... He was just, you know, washing his clothes with all of our other trousers and whatnot, and the drill instructor was just disgusted. You know, he could smell it throughout the entire barracks. And he was like, I demand whoever did this to, you know, come front and center right now. And it was actually kind of like that scene, like no one was going to tell on him or anything like that for, like on Joker. But he finally raised his hand, and he just got crushed, like the arrest of the summer.
So what about... Well, maybe I'll hold this piece of audio for next because it's a longer piece of audio. I wanted to ask about Private Pyle getting that donut discovered and all that kind of stuff.
All right. That's next.
All right. It's about 2:15. It is Jake and Dan here. Jake's brother is joining us as we review Full Metal Jacket. I wanted to do this at the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema, but then Corona. What's the deal with that?
I'm saying.
So, we might still do it at the cinema someday.
We should.
But back when we were first talking about this, it was like, well, Joe's working for the XFL, and I don't know when he'll be back, and it was going to be a very difficult thing for timing. But we were all able to watch it now. And according to you guys, it's on HBO Max, right?
I'm pretty sure that's where we saw it, yeah.
I don't think it was on Netflix.
It was.
HBO?
HBO okay. Max.
Okay, so... We're just talking about different things. Boot camp is a main thing. The first 45 minutes of the movie are great. I think the whole movie is pretty great. But it's definitely a couple different segments. But I wanted to talk about when he was doing an inspection, and I don't think I should play this. It's 2.5 minutes long. But my favorite scene is when Private Pyle, when Arlie Ermey, the drill sergeant, finds he's doing inspection. Is that common? They walk up and down making sure everything is perfect?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, you have to be...
That'll happen probably once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
I love working for...
Oh, that's the other one, sorry.
You just love that one so much.
That one is a good one.
Jesus H. Christ.
He sees an unlocked footlocker.
Which is also a massive thing.
What's that?
That's massive, too. If you have your footlocker unlocked, be prepared for all of yourself to be thrown.
Have you seen this?
Absolutely.
Why is your footlocker unlocked?
Sir, I don't know, sir.
Private Pyle, if there is one thing in this world that I hate, it is an unlocked footlocker. You know that, don't you?
Sir, yes, sir.
Did you yell back responses?
Kids like you, there wouldn't be any favor in this world, would there?
Sir, no, sir.
Get him!
Now he's going to pick it up and dump it all over the floor.
Well, now, let's just see if there's anything missing. Holy Jesus. What the f*** is that? What is that, Private Pyle?
Sir, jelly donut, sir.
A jelly donut?
Sir, yes, sir.
How did it get here?
Sir, I took it from the mess hall, sir.
Is chow allowed in the barracks, Private Pyle?
Sir, no,
have
sir.
Have you seen
Are
something
you
like this?
To eat jelly donuts, Private Pyle?
I have seen something like this. We had a candidate who got caught with a cookie in his pocket that he had took from dinner, and the drill instructors ordered a bag of Oreos in from the PX and made him eat the entire thing.
In front of everybody?
Absolutely, yes.
Because you were hungry. Private Pyle has dishonored himself and dishonored the platoon. I have tried to help him, but I have failed. I have failed because you have not helped me. You people have not given Private Pyle the proper motivation.
Now, this is after he's already messed up 100 times. And
from now on, whenever Private Pyle f***s up, I will not punish him. I will punish all of you. And the way I see it, ladies, you owe me for one jelly donut. Now get on your faces. Open your mouth. They're paying for it. You eat it. Ready? Exercise.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9.
Have you seen that? The punishment, you punish the whole platoon and not the guy.
Absolutely, yep. That is, well, they're really big on, you know, you're only as strong as the weakest link, and, you know, you can't really have weak Marines because then it kind of puts everyone else's lives in danger as well. So, absolutely, group punishment for sure.
Boy, that eating the whole thing of Oreos is like, you've heard about the dad that'll catch his kid smoking one cigarette and make him smoke the whole pack or something.
Yeah,
I doubt. I'd love to know the efficacy rate for that. Like, can I check back and see later if those kids turned into chain smokers and if they talk through
or got cancer?
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know if that would stand up today. You shared with us the other night when we were watching it that you sucked at making beds. Because that's a big deal. You have to have the in at least in Full Metal Jacket, the 4-inch crease, like the perfect fold, and. Yeah, I don't know that anybody's really good at making a bed. You just kind of make it.
Well, you can be better than others at it. I was always told to engage my mind before my weapon, so I don't think I was doing anything dishonest. But, yeah, so I'd take my boot bands, and, you know, they're kind of like little stretchy hair ties, and then on each side I have little hooks. So I would hook those into the sheets and into the blanket. And then I would bring them all the way underneath, and then I would hook the opposite end into the bed spring. So I got that on all four corners now. So now it's just staying tight. Could drop a quarter on it, and I would not sleep underneath the covers. I would just sleep on it. So next morning,
so you never made your bed, really?
Well, you know, every now and then, sometimes, you know, once a week, something like that. You know, everyone's all hustling around. I'm kind of making the fake movement over there, like, oh yeah, this is tough.
Well, that's yeah, that's using your brain, man. That's officer material, if you ask me. So, you know, we'll give one reset here. It's Joe Kemp. This is Jake's brother, who was in the Marines, and we're now reviewing the movie Full Metal Jacket, which is about being in the Marines and going to Vietnam. And were push-ups a big deal? Like, common?
Absolutely. Push-ups, we're a little bit more doing pull-ups at the time, if the bar was around. But if we're inside, push-ups or burpees.
The punishment of the day
punishment,
would be
yes.
Doing how many?
Until they said stop. Honestly, I'm terrible at push-ups, too. I got these long, gangly arms. So, you know, I usually max out at about 50.
I think one of the cool things about this movie, too, though, is in addition to the fighting scenes, and this is why I love Generation Kill, just because it's the war he fought in. It's kind of like my generation's war, the Recon Marines in 03. But it does also show in this movie a lot of, like, there's some downtime. Like, even when they get to part two and before they're, like, moving from the Tet Offensive, like, there's just a lot of J.O. time in deployment.
Oh, yeah.
And those are always, like, the funniest things that he told me about. So, like, what's your best one from that?
Where'd you get sent?
So I got sent to Kuwait, that right on the border of Kuwait and Iraq. We would use that as like our staging ground to launch supporting attacks into Iraq, and then sometimes all the way up into Syria in the fight against ISIS. You know, obviously in that Vietnam War, they probably had a little less time to you know, jack around a little bit. I'd say our deployment was maybe, you know, over 10 months, 10% of it was actually going out and doing stuff. Where the other 90% is really just kind of sitting and waiting. So Marines can get very creative with their free time. And I'll never forget, towards the end of the deployment too, walked into my Marines' little barracks. My two best Marines as well, they had corralled a camel spider and a giant scorpion. And they had dropped them into a massive like cardboard box, got in a canteen, covered the bottom of the floor of the box with water, and then dumped about five scoops of NO Explode down into the water and mixed it around. So now
that's a like a pre-workout, just tons of caffeine,
creatine, yeah, all sorts of stuff, trying to get, you know, a couple hopped up bugs to fight each other to the death.
A scorpion and a spider.
A giant scorpion, yep, and a camel spider about the size of your palm.
On cocaine, basically.
Oh, yeah. Like D-ball. It was just straight HGH.
And then,
much.
What was it like?
Was scorpion, it awesome? The scorpion ended it in maybe 5 seconds.
Was there gambling beforehand?
There absolutely was gambling, yes. And it was kind of like a situation where I walked in before it happened. I was like, gosh,
you're the officer in charge of this?
Yeah.
Of these guys.
Yeah.
And you could have said,
I sanctioned it, I guess.
Cut out this grab ass.
Yes, without a doubt.
But in your head, you're like,
this is going to be awesome. But, you know, you can't really ever show that emotion too much, but I knew when I was getting home, I was getting out a month later, so I'd kind of already been like, what are they going to do to me? You know, not that big a deal. Let the boys have fun. But it, definitely in the back of my head, I was like, man, my radio operator gets stung with the scorpion that they're trying to corral. I'm going to be really screwed here.
Who did you bet on?
Scorpion.
Okay.
I saw the length on the tail. I knew that thing could immediately hit, you know, wrap around and one-shot rifle right there.
So you would probably have to get the spider hopped up and not give the scorpion the roids, and then just to even it out a little.
Just to see.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, about this movie that's way different than you know, when he was deployed is, I mean, I could talk to him fairly regularly. Not right. Like a ton, but I mean, he had, as I was telling you the other day, like a puck. They yep. gave him Wi-Fi, like, on his person. And so it's not near as isolated as, like, Vietnam or even, you know,
what
World
year?
Wars were.
So where were we at in iPhone technology and all that?
Oh, this was, let's see, I left right after Thanksgiving 2016, came home in September, August of 2017.
Okay, so, yeah, you got iPhone and.
Oh, absolutely.
All that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you get good internet?
It was all right. You know, maybe, you know, I feel so ridiculous complaining about freaking internet, you know, on
war.
Deployment in the Middle
but.
East. It was okay, you know, slow speeds. You know, in the barracks, it was good enough to, you know, power your computers and, you know, go to Netflix and all that kind of stuff. But once you started moving away from the barracks, it was not good.
Did you have an actual computer?
I did, yep. I brought my computer over, watched, you know, top 10 critically acclaimed series that I needed to catch up on.
Okay. I mean, when you're not working, you got nothing to do, really.
Right.
Yeah, so if they clock you in overnight for 8, 10, 11 hours, the rest of the day is kind of just...
Did you ever have... Were you ever in combat?
So I don't, you know, not to get too deep into that kind of stuff. The things that I were doing, that I was doing was more so supporting our ground units with airstrikes. Depends on what your definition of combat is.
Like, did you shoot anyone?
With what?
A gun.
Not a gun, no, but my weapon was the airplanes. And we went to work.
I was the pilot, though.
Yeah, see, I've always wondered about that. Who gets these kills? Is it I'm calling in the targets and I'm calling in the ordnance, I'm marking the targets, talking to the aircraft, hey, you're going to go take this heading, this routing. But yeah, I mean, they're the ones actually shooting the missile. So, you know, I feel like maybe give me like a 25%. They can still have the majority of it. You know, we would take, you know, some indirect fire and stuff like that with mortars, but nothing really ever too close to really make you that scared. And, but no, I never had to engage anyone with my rifle.
And I'm obviously super glad about that, that that's the way that that shook out. Because you know the part in Full Metal Jacket where, I think it might be Arlie Ermey reading it, where he's giving them their MOS, which is your occupational service. So what job are you going to do? And you get to sign up for what you want and then rank them, you know, let's say top three, top four, I don't know.
Yep.
And then they'll decide if you're fit for this, and if you're not, go down to your next one, are you fit for this type thing. So when Joker got journalism, he had clearly signed up for that, and they knew he'd be really good at it. They also gave Pyle infantry because they could tell this dude can shoot. He was very good with the rifle.
Right.
When he first put his MOS down, he put down infantry.
Right.
Which scared the S out of me, because I'm thinking, this has got to be the highest probability for casualty, or for, you know, coming back with, you know, with something you're going to have to deal with. And fortunately, to tie all this together, I actually think that the video you played earlier of him getting cleaned out at Houston and all the stuff he had to do in college at Tulane was a big part of why he wasn't able to move ahead in infantry, because a lot of those dudes, they haven't played any sports. They certainly hadn't played at that level. Their bodies are a lot fresher. So he got what he wanted and got into infantry, and I don't remember how long in it you were, but eventually he was like, dude, my body is not in the same place as all these dudes are. I need to get to logistics or something else, and that's when he got moved out. But that's also when you saw the rabbit I told him about the other day.
Yeah, so the rabbit story is all time, I'd say, top three proudest moments I've ever
had. And at this point, we're just in infantry, like TBS.
Right, or Infantry Officers Course is what I went to.
IOC.
IOC, yeah, we were learning, you know, how to live off the land and you know, how to make hydration systems out of the creek beds and all that type of stuff. And, you know, this guy, it was almost like how he caught our attention. You know, you're giving a speech or something like that. First thing he does, just goes behind a big tree log, pulls out a live, full-grown rabbit. I mean, it was incredibly cute as well, like making a little kind of like a noise to him. We're like, oh, what's this about to be? Then he pulls out a baton. Oh, we're like, this is not going to be good. This is going to end poorly for this rabbit. Snaps it right over the head with it, breaks its neck with that one hit. He tells us, you know, you can get this fur off real easy. These rabbits actually have kind of loose fur. And he, you know, scrunches up that hair at the back, that fur, and literally takes this rabbit's fur off its body with one just violent rip. And now we're just sitting there like, this thing was alive 10
without
seconds
a knife?
Ago. No knife, no. Absolutely rips off this excess, like this fur.
What was the point? Why did he want that fur?
He wanted it off so we could cook it.
Oh.
Yeah. And then that's when I was just like, wow, these guys are hardcore.
Yeah, I remember him telling me, like, yeah, I've been, like, in some tough guy spots, but I think I might have bumped up against the ceiling of my level of nuts. These guys are a little different.
So would you say what would you say about watching that movie? Realistic movie, or?
Oh, it's definitely realistic. And I'm sure, I can't recall the gunnery sergeant's name,
Arlie Ermey.
He was a drill instructor,
right.
So that definitely helped. And I'm sure he had, you know, a part in the creative process with it.
Yeah, he was like an advisor.
For sure. And then, you know, obviously I can't, so that part is 100% accurate. You know, maybe some of the methods have changed, but the message is still the same. And then as far as the combat type stuff, you know, I only can speak to a certain portion of it. Obviously wasn't, you know, room clearing and whatnot in Way City, but just kind of the aspect. There was a line in there that I really hit home with me whenever the journalists were asking him a question, and, you know, do you think the United States should be in Vietnam? And he just kind of looked at him and was like, well, I don't know. I know I'd need to be in Vietnam. That's where I'm supposed to be. I mean, that's where Marines do. They go and fight and win. And, you know, I kind of thought the same thing whenever I was over there. Just like, man, I don't know. I mean, ISIS seems really bad. I'm okay with this, but should we be over here? And then it's like, this is where else would we be? This is what we're made to do.
Did you have any interaction with people that live there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And were they happy that you were there?
Yes, especially during the fight against ISIS, because they were, you know, pretty darn aggressive against anyone who didn't share their beliefs, which also included, you know, homosexuals, you know, people who might not be Christians, even, you know, people who just are not going to lay down to ISIS's stranglehold. We would take them in. I mean, they would live on the base. So I never really had any negative reactions, interactions with the locals. That doesn't mean they probably just didn't voice it to me.
Yeah. You had the gun.
Yes.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's pretty much our review of Full Metal Jacket. I'd go A+. I thought it was real good. I thought it was pretty tense.
Ahead of its time a little bit. Shot very well.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. It is 2:30. This is The Ticket.